It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Pittsburgh is nowhere near the Southwest, yet in the last year or so, we've seen a flourish of authentic Mexican restaurants opening for some very eager customers. Pittsburgh Post-Gazette food critic Melissa McCart writes about these popular eateries, and she's here to give us a taste of some south-of-the-border cuisine you can find right here in the burg. Melissa McCart, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks so much for having me, Paul.
And the first question I must ask is, how much different is authentic Mexican food from the Americanized tacos and burritos we know oh so well, that we get out of bed at midnight for, you know, just to satisfy our taco crave?
Well, it would be like saying, what is American food? There are so many specific regions. And what I think that we're seeing is restaurateurs and food truck owners catering to more adventurous diners, as well as people who are more familiar with global cuisine. So, for example, 6 years ago, you might not have seen a tongue taco or a chorizo taco here in Pittsburgh, but now you can find it in three or four different places.
So we're starting to see not only more Mexican food, but more varieties of Mexican food.
Absolutely. So you have the Tex-Mex cuisine, which is essentially characterized by meats and lots of cheese and beans.
So if you're carnivorous, this is what you're going to like.
Absolutely. You also have Mexicali-type taquerias, which involves like more fish tacos, avocado, fresh vegetables, just a little bit lighter. And then you get into more specifics in terms of regional cuisine. So, for example, Oaxacan food might have a lot of sauces, particularly a poblano sauce that has a bit of chocolate in it, and that's a very specific regional type of cuisine. And so while Mexicali taquerias or Tex-Mex is something that a lot of Americans are familiar with, you have people like Nick DeSayo of Casa Reina and Reina Market in the Strip District, who is introducing regional Mexican cuisine, that from Mexico City, from Guadalajara, and from Oaxaca. So we're starting to see really specific types of cuisine now here in Pittsburgh.
And when you talk about Oaxaca, because there's a Oaxaca City, and then I think there's a Oaxaca, it would be a province,
yes,
correct?
Yes.
So is it indigenous to the province or to the city?
To the province. But essentially, Oaxacan food is just sauce heavy. So there might be a green mole, for example, or a red mole, or this poblano mole that I had mentioned that has chocolate in it. But it's just, just much more sauce-heavy than other regions of Mexico.
And if there's a green sauce, is it safe to assume that that's going to be hotter than something with a red sauce?
Not necessarily. One of the interesting things about Mexican cuisine is it's a lot like Indian food in terms of the fact that there are so many processes, frying, roasting, toasting things that make it really quite complex. And so a green sauce might be brighter with tomatillos, for example, and some roasted serranos, but that doesn't necessarily mean it has a ton of kick.
And so and Mexican food, it's not necessarily always that spicy, correct?
Absolutely. So much of Mexican food is about the regions and the range of chili peppers, for example. So if you go into a place like Casa Reina, they have 9 different kinds of salsas. And in those
9 different kinds.
Absolutely.
And do they range from the hotter to the mild?
I don't actually think they're terrifically hot. There's a habanero salsa that's quite hot. But then again, my tolerance for heat is really high. But because Nick DeSayo wants people to actually taste his food, he doesn't want to kill their taste buds with really high heat. So
don't expect it to be like when you go into maybe one of these chain Mexican restaurants where it's like, you know, mild, medium, hot. You don't expect that necessarily at these places. It's much more – there are a lot of varieties and the differences sound like they're much more subtle.
Absolutely. So, for example, he has a mango salsa with peaches that might seem like it's not authentic, but it's actually from the Veracruz region where Afro-Cuban influences are seen in the food, for example. He also has two different kinds of tomatillo salsas. He has just a more traditional roasted tomato and garlic with cilantro. So he's definitely adhering to region-specific ingredients in those nine salsas.
So we're hearing about a lot of what is out there. What are some of the popular dishes? What are you seeing people really go for?
I mean, people cannot get enough of tacos. And essentially, one of the reasons is because there's so many variations. There's so many possibilities in terms of ingredients. You have a place like Casa Rasta in Beachview that's adhering to food of the Veracruz region. He's also bringing in some hybrid flavors like jerk chicken, for example. We have somebody like James Rich from Pittsburgh Food Trucks, who is introducing all sorts of ingredients into tacos. And then you have more authentic versions of it, such as Edgar in the Strip, who's selling tacos from Edgar's Tacos. And he also has a place that's on Route 51 in the South Hills, I believe, that's fairly new, that opened within the last year.
So there's more and more – not only are there more Mexican restaurants and opportunities for people in Pittsburgh to try and sample Mexican food, but it also sounds like there is an increasing amount of variety.
Absolutely. And I think that one of the biggest differences is the level of complexity of the ingredients. So, for example, at Edgar's Tacos or at Casa Reina, for example, they might be making masa or they might be making tortilla chips by hand. They might be making tortillas by hand. And that level of detail is really another factor that differentiates the kinds of foods that you're getting between Mexican restaurants.
We're talking with Melissa McCart. She writes about food for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, actually the food critic. You have mentioned Casa Reina quite a bit, so obviously you like that place. Anything else you're giving thumbs up to?
Sure. I go out for Mexican food quite a bit. I love going to Round Corner Cantina. I like the fact that there's a Mexicali style that's really bright. Their salsa's really bright, and they make their chips in-house. I go to Edgar's quite a bit for lunch. I just had friends come through town, and he said they were among the best tacos he's had in a long time, and he's pretty well-traveled. In addition to Casa Reina, I just did a review of Casa Rasta. That was a really fun experience, and I think it's it's a tone that sort of brings in some energy to Beachview that I think makes it a pioneering kind of restaurant, even though it's this very casual Mexican place.
What makes it pioneering?
I think that there are a lot of sort of old school red sauce restaurants in that particular neighborhood, and I think that it brings in a different crowd. And I think that people who don't live in the neighborhood are going there for, you know, they'll have bands, they'll have like reggae bands, and they want to learn more about the food.
So Casa Rasta, it has a Jamaican influence?
Well, I think that he definitely likes Jamaican food, and this is Antonio Fragas is the chef there. But he has said that one of the things that confuses a lot of people are these tropical flavors from the Veracruz region that come into the cuisine. So instead of tortilla chips, for example, he's using yuca. Or instead of some more traditional Mexican flavors, he's bringing in mangoes.
Did we talk about the miniature tortilla factory in the Strip?
We have not yet.
What about that?
Nick DeSayo has a tortilla factory, and he essentially has applied what he learned from creating those machines to smaller machines in the restaurant. So when you go into Casa Rasta, in the back there are windows, and you can see corn tortillas being made and flour tortillas being made on these machines that make quite a bit of noise, but it's really fun to watch.
My mission was to bring authentic ingredients that people could actually make the dishes from scratch. And my ethnic background, I'm half Mexican. My mother is Mexican and my father Italian, but I was born and raised in Pittsburgh. So I know the tastes of Pittsburgh, but I do know the taste of my background too, because my mother used to bring a lot of the ingredients in from Texas, and I saw a definite need for it here. And in the last 10 years especially, people are really learning how to cook Mexican food. I see a huge increase in the use of the basic ingredients, like the dried chili peppers and the actual masa, and they're constantly asking questions about the different spices, and I can tell they're making things the right way. They're making them from scratch. One of the biggest differences in Mexican food in Mexico is the fact that they have fresh tortillas every day, and they don't put any preservatives in them. And to do that, you need to make them every day. You know, tortillas are very interesting because people don't realize, you know, the corn is being ground, and they actually can see the corn being processed and all the different machines that go into it. There's two different types, of course, the corn and the flour. The corn is totally corn. There's no wheat in it. We start with whole kernel corn. We cook it with the mineral lime. Then we stone grind it. Then it goes into a machine which is called a sheeter head, where it's actually squeezed, and then there's a little roller, it looks like a cookie cutter, which cuts it, and then it's stripped off the rollers, and it goes through three levels of baking in a conveyorized oven. Then it goes through a cooling process, and then it's packaged. Whereas the flour, it's mixed straight from the flour. There's oil in it, baking powder, and salt. No preservatives in anything.
I think going to his restaurant is really an educational experience because you get to see how these things are made, and they're incredibly fresh.
Now, if someone is a vegetarian and they want to go out and experience this cuisine, can they enjoy the experience fully? Are there enough non-meat dishes for someone to really enjoy the best of what Pittsburgh has to offer in terms of Mexican food?
Absolutely. I think going to a place like Casa Reina, I would certainly advise a server, because something like masa has lard in it, and that's not vegetarian friendly. But sticking to Mexicali food is very vegetable heavy and certainly will be satiating.
Melissa McCart has been our guest. She is the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette food critic, talking about authentic Mexican food opportunities in Pittsburgh. Melissa, it's been a pleasure visiting with you again. Thanks so much for being with us here on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. If you missed any part of the program, go to our website at wesa.fm. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Have a great weekend, everybody.